You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Last week, the state of California released a new interactive online map that lets you look at how environmentally burdened your neighborhood is. The tool, called CalEnviroScreen 2.0, combines both data on pollution sources and the demographics of a community, including poverty, unemployment, and linguistic isolation, to compute a score that reflects a community's overall environmental burden. The list was not good news for the Valley, where air and water pollution, pesticides, and toxic waste combine with chronic poverty. Of the 10 worst census tracts in the state, 8 of them were from Fresno. Experts call these disparities environmental justice, or in this case, the lack thereof. In a moment, we'll talk with Sarah Sharp, the Director of Programs for Fresno Metro Ministry, about what these numbers mean for the Valley. But first, we're joined by Sam Delson with the California Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, which helped prepare these numbers to tell us more about the data itself. Sam, welcome.
Thank you very much.
This data set combines two different categories of data. You're looking at both pollution sources and also demographic information. Exactly how do you merge those two together, and why do you merge them together?
Well, there are a dozen pollution burden indicators, and those are divided into exposures such as ozone, diesel, particulate matter, pesticide use, toxic releases, and environmental effects such as cleanup sites, impaired water bodies, and hazardous waste facilities. And so those 12 pollution burden indicators are combined to produce a score from 1 to 10 for each of the 8,000 census tracts in the state. And then there are 12 population characteristics indicators such as asthma rates, low birth weight deliveries, unemployment rate, poverty, and those produce a second score from 1 to 10. And then we multiply the two scores to produce the CalEnviroScreen score.
And that really strikes at the principle of this idea of environmental justice. Can you define how the state defines that?
Well, there's an exact definition that I don't have right in front of me.
I mean, just for the layman's perspective.
It's ensuring that the state carries out its environmental justice mission, its environmental mission, in a manner that ensures that all Californians are treated fairly, including minority and low-income groups. And so this tool is designed to identify communities that are facing challenges that have both burdens from pollution sources such as pesticides or ozone or drinking water issues, as well as vulnerabilities from their population characteristics such as high poverty rates, low education attainment, and health issues such as asthma and low birth weight deliveries, because there's documented research that shows that when you have those population vulnerabilities, the same level of pollution can affect you more strongly.
Now, how does the state hope to utilize this new data?
Well, the main purpose is to help CalEPA and its departments prioritize their limited resources. So to prioritize cleanup actions, enforcement actions, as well as grants and investments to assist disadvantaged communities. In particular, there's a state law passed in 2012 that requires that a quarter of all the revenue generated by the cap-and-trade auctions of greenhouse gas emission allowances be invested in projects that benefit the disadvantaged communities identified by this tool. Now, there are other secondary uses. We're hoping that local and other state agencies will also use this to prioritize some of their investments and grant making. Some banks have expressed interest in using that in prioritizing their investments. And it's something that the general public can use. We have these interactive maps, and you can just plug in any address or any city, click on any point on the map, and it will show you the data for each of the 19 indicators in each of the 8,000 census tracts in the state. So you can see what is the information for your community, see how it compares with your perception and your experience of the issues around you, and how it compares to other communities around the state.
And you can find the online map on our website. The link is there at kvpr.org. Sam, I understand there's an event coming up in Fresno. Tell me more about that.
That's correct. Because we want to get public input on ways to improve this tool and make it more effective, we're going to be holding three public workshops around the state, and one of them will be in Fresno on May 6th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Huburn State Building on Mariposa Mall.
Again, we've been talking with Sam Delson today on Valley Edition. He is with the California Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, which recently released the new CalEnviroScreen 2.0 database that tracks environmental burdens in neighborhoods throughout the state. Sam, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Joining us now in the studio, we have Sarah Sharp. She is the Director of Programs for Fresno Metro Ministry. Sarah, welcome to Valley Edition.
Thank you for having me.
The numbers that came out last week were dramatic. Even more dramatic, though, was the map that was released by CalEnviroScreen. And you pull up the Central Valley, zooming out from a large 40,000-foot perspective, you look at California, most of the center of the state is red. You zoom in further, and the worst areas in the state, and in this case red is bad, the worst areas of the state are right in Fresno and specifically in West Fresno. These have to be sobering numbers for anyone who works in this field looking at this data in that perspective.
Definitely. It's very sobering and concerning. It's a call to action for us, of course. We've been working on these issues at Fresno Metro Ministry for quite a while. We do applaud CalEPA and OEHA for coming out with this analysis because it tells the story that many of us already knew. Those of us who live in these neighborhoods and have been grown up here knew that we had severe environmental burden that we believed was greater than a lot of other places in the state, but we didn't have any data to prove it. So that's one of the things that we are hopeful will come out of this analysis is that we will really get some more action and some policy changes that come from what we've seen.
We've talked about this issue of disparities, whether they're health disparities, economic disparities, all sorts of things in the valley. If you look at Fresno on this map, on the far northern edge and the far eastern edge, you see green areas. Green in this case is on the good scale, and red in this case is on the bad scale. Fresno itself is very much divided. It's not a uniform state across the community.
Right. This is another tale of two cities issue that we've been hearing about for years in Fresno. In this case, it looks like the north boundary is almost Shields in most cases, and everything south of Shields is red. But then we also have the 99 corridor and the 41 corridor, which are also very environmentally burdened. And so part of the disparities that we see throughout Fresno in the tale of two cities is that part of our population doesn't score as high on the community vulnerability index. And so that may explain why some of our neighbors in Fresno have a healthier environment.
I want to jump in here and ask you about that specifically. This issue of environmentally burdened is an interesting concept because we're not just looking at pure pollution data, although it's probably the easiest way to talk about this map as being a pollution map. But you're also looking at the socioeconomic thing. And we talked to Sam Delson about this. But you're combining these two things together. Can you explain why something like linguistic isolation or unemployment has an impact on the vulnerability of someone or of a community to pollution?
Yes. So this is the story of environmental justice and the movement that's been around since the 80s, talking about why certain populations, certain neighborhoods cannot respond as well to pollution as others. First of all, we have a problem with historic decisions about zoning and code and planning for our cities. We used to always put the industrial areas next to where the people of color and the working class people had to live by law. And so that's a historical background that we're working within. And then over time, those communities that are living in poverty, have lower education levels, or are new to our country often do not have the same resources and tools to access the protections that we have through Environmental Protection Agency or through our local zoning or other systems that people in other neighborhoods might be able to access easier.
If you look at California's history of environmental laws, even regionally with air quality districts like we have here in the Valley, we apply broad implementation of various directives, rules, laws, either across the whole state or over a whole region. In this case, we're talking about down to the neighborhood level. Should we be looking at these things in a different way, a much more neighborhood-focused way? looking at the granularity of this data and at this map?
Actually, that's exactly what CalEnviroScreen 2.0 is about. They took the same information that they had last year at the zip code level, and through their community workshops and listening to communities like West Fresno here in Fresno that wanted more detail and wanted it zeroed in to a smaller scale, they responded to the community and came out with this census tract level analysis, which we believe is much more accurate about telling the detailed story of environmental justice and how there are disparities in every city and throughout our state. And so for us, the 8,000 census tracts are much better than the, I think it was like almost 2,000 zip codes, because the zip code areas were so large that they would encompass some areas that were not necessarily, high vulnerability neighborhoods, but the zip codes were just so large.
So we have this great map. We have this great data. It tells us more about what we kind of already had a hunch was going on. How can this be used?
So for us, we believe that having good data is very important for decision making. And that's what we work a lot on at Fresno Metro Ministry, is getting the academic research in place to really help our decision makers, our policy makers, have the right information they need to make the right decisions. So that goes from state level all the way down to local level, from the general plan general plan update that we're working on here in Fresno. We can look at which neighborhoods and census tracts in Fresno need more attention, need more investment. It's not a new, it pretty much mirrors where the bus rapid transit and other investments were going to be focused by the city. So from that local, very local level to the statewide level, this analysis was actually created in response to AB 32, and they needed CalEPA to define disadvantaged communities. And so that was the impetus for this analysis. And so the top 10% communities, which, as you can see on the map, most of Fresno fit in, a lot of Fresno County, actually, and a lot of the San Joaquin Valley, will really benefit from being red in that respect, because there are going to be a lot of investments of that cap and trade money in our communities.
West Fresno is of particular concern. It ranks at the bottom of the bottom, essentially, in the CalEnviroScreen list. That community has a host of environmental burdens, a lot of heavy industry, air quality issues, and related to the transportation infrastructure in that area. There's also an ongoing issue with the Darling Meat rendering plant there and this lawsuit that continues to go on. How does that factor into this?
Well, I think this tool and this analysis will really help our city council understand how important that issue is and how serious it is. It's not a joke, and we were not kidding about being really concerned about it, because when you look at on the statewide level, West Fresno pops up as one of the top most heavily environmentally burdened communities. That's very concerning, and we need to make sure we take some action. I think we've been in kind of a state of paralysis from analysis over the last few years, and it's time to take some action and really change our policies about where we put our industrial uses. There are still new processing facilities and chemical plants trying to go into West Fresno as we speak, and our current policies allow for that. So our city council, I think we all need to, as a community, look at what we can do differently, how we can make sure that our whole city is treated as one healthy Fresno. We want to be one healthy Fresno. I think we need to find a way to get to that point.
Your group has been involved with the general plan and trying to direct a new future for the city. You mentioned about not having those new facilities, those new heavy industry projects going in those traditional areas. Well, where would they go in the future then? If they aren't going in?
I think that's a very important conversation that we need to have as a community, and it's actually happening across the nation. Like I said, historically it was accepted that you would just pick one part of town and put all of your industry, heavy industry, in that spot. But unfortunately, there are usually residential areas near there. And so the people who have to live there are usually the people who have no choice about where they live, because they can't either afford to move somewhere else or for other reasons. So as a country, we're looking at that, because we need to figure out, but probably we need to allow for industrial in other areas that have none. And of course, some people wouldn't be happy about that. But if we want to be fair and all about democracy, we kind of have to figure out how to either reduce our waste and have less polluting facilities that we wouldn't mind living next to, or we need to figure out what else we can do.
So what's the next step at this point?
Well, we're going to take it and share it with our city council. It clearly points to the need to approve our general plan update and move forward with some smart planning and changing the way we do business as usual. We're going to do a community forum on May 13th with some of the city council members who represent the south part of Fresno and really talk to them about what this means, not just this, but you know, all of the stories that our residents that live in South Fresno have about how different it is to live in South Fresno versus North Fresno. So on May 13th at Roosevelt, we're going to be there talking with our city councilmen and hoping that we can see some action soon.
Again, we've been talking with Sarah Sharp. She is the director of programs for Fresno Metro Ministry, a local nonprofit organization that's doing work in the area of environmental justice. We've been talking about CalEnviro Screen 2.0, a new data tool that has been released by the state of California, came out last week and features an online interactive map that tracks the environmental burden of all of California's census tracts. So you can find out how burdened your neighborhood is. Is it in red? Is it in green? Or is it somewhere in between? You can find that online as well on our website, kvpr.org. Sarah Sharp, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.